You are Locked On Ravens, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Ravens, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Ravens podcast. We have a special guest with us today. We're going to be talking about this matchup with the Chargers, who Baltimore just faced, and they are facing them once again, this time here in Baltimore. Joining me is Richard Bradshaw from the Pylon to Pylon podcast and the Ebony Bird. You can find him on Twitter at RichieBrads36. That's RichieBrads36. So go ahead and give him a follow. Richard, man, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. I'm really happy to be on with you guys.
So I guess the first thing really just to kind of go through is the last matchup and, Baltimore, a surprising win on the road. They were able to take that one. What did you see in that game that Baltimore maybe needs to do again or needs to do differently? Because it was really a dominant win. But, you could still kind of argue that they were not perfect in all phases. Game was really only 6-3 at halftime. They had some other opportunities there. What did you see in that game just kind of overall, and how do you see things kind of playing out in this next game?
Well, the biggest thing is the run game continues to come alive with Lamar Jackson. Kenneth Dixon and Gus Edwards have really revived this offense. And what they've turned it into is a unit that is no longer stale and it's no longer predictable. It's entirely unpredictable now. And teams, they have 7 games worth of film on Lamar Jackson. And typically we see the NFL is all over mobile quarterbacks, but for whatever reason, they can't get a good read on Lamar and how he plays. And that's exactly what happened to the Chargers, who actually have a very good defense. When they came marching into LA, they were able to just impose their will offensively. Gus Edwards, just shy of 100 yards on the day, and Jackson and Dixon just did their own damage as well. The biggest thing that we continue to see struggle with the Ravens is their passing attack. And that's something that will come with time, especially with getting everyone involved, because we're seeing John Brown, who took over the first half of the season, just is not doing that much in the second half now. But Mark Andrews continues to be the spark plug on offense, somehow being the big tight end he is, he's played at a Pro Bowl level for probably about half the season. You can put that all together. That's really exciting moving forward. So getting the offense moving consistently is going to be key to controlling the clock. We all know how good this Chargers offense is with Melvin Gordon, Phillip Rivers, and Keenan Allen probably all playing at pretty close to full health in this game. So we're going to need to control the clock big time. And the defense stepped up huge in that game and just really abused and terrorized Phillip Rivers for 60 minutes. You got to do something like that again. Getting any kind of turnovers is going to help you win this game. But at the end of the day, if you can limit them offensively, get a few good 3-and-outs, some long, sustained offensive drives, that's going to be the big key to victory here.
Yeah, and you mentioned the guys in the passing game, the role players, especially Mark Andrews. He's only gotten more than 4 targets twice in a game this season. And for some of these role players, I know it's pretty easy to look at guys, that put up staggering numbers. George Kittle's having a great year and some other tight ends around the league. But, this is just a different offense. And for the most part, when these guys are called upon, even though it's only in small portions, they've answered and they've stepped up for their rookie quarterback. And that's definitely been an encouraging sign for me. Getting into more of the matchups, what do you see as a key matchup, especially on the offensive side of the ball? I know you mentioned Gus Edwards and how he was able to explode in that previous game, averaging over 6 yards a carry. To me, it has to, like you said, be a combination of the running game. But I think not only do they have to be creative in the running game, they have to be creating in the passing game and continue to have that balance because from here on out, you're not facing any slouch defenses.
No, you're absolutely not. Now you're in the playoffs. You're in January. You got to treat every single game that you're going into like you're playing the Super Bowl winning team. So the biggest matchup here, in my opinion, is a healthy Joey Bosa, who still managed to get a half sack and a tackle for loss against us in that game. he missed majority of the year just with lingering injuries all year long, and he still managed 5.5 sacks on the season. I think he's really reminded us just how talented he is, and Ronnie Stanley is outstanding. Orlando Brown is phenomenal. They're going to have a handful between Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram coming off those edges there and trying to crash the pocket. So Lamar's going to need to be as comfortable as he can in his first ever playoff game. Again, for everyone who doesn't know, Lamar will be the youngest quarterback to ever play a playoff game and, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, the youngest to ever win a playoff game.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's a good, you know, I agree 100%. You're going to have to keep those guys out of it as much as you can. And I think that's a little bit of an advantage for Baltimore, you know, not only with how they've been able to scheme things against, you know, talented edge rushers this season, but now you have these guys where you have tight ends, you have different running backs, you have a mobile quarterback in the backfield. I think it definitely is tougher now than it was earlier in the season for them to kind of, you know, pin their ears back and focus on a particular player or two, because now you have all different types of motion moving around you.
No, you absolutely do. And, you know, this isn't shots at Joe Flacco at all, who we all know by now is very, very good in the postseason. Won us a Super Bowl, and, you know, despite everyone wanting to claim that the defense won that Super Bowl, I think Ravens fans know for fact we won that Super Bowl because of Joe Flacco. The defense was good, not elite that year. But since that Super Bowl win, we know that the offense has also been stale at times. And Jackson has just been the cure for all of that. And there was a point in time earlier this season where it looked like Flacco might be playing at a Pro Bowl level. You know, half the games he looked great, the other half you're kind of scratching your head wondering what the hell was going on. But at the end of the day, Jackson's one of the biggest reasons that you're 6-1. You nearly went 7-0, if not for a couple really bad defensive calls against the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Just outstanding what he's done.
It's been a total transformation, and it's been fun to watch because there's no other team in the NFL that is like this. And I think, you know, I know a lot of other people will, you know, watch both the NFL and college, and this is something you get used to watching at the college level with all the different schemes that, you know, teams run in college. But for an NFL team to be doing this and for it to be working is really something else.
Yeah, it's been interesting. We can all admit that moving forward after this year, Jackson will absolutely have to alter his game and not run 17 times a game and try to beat everyone with his legs and do as minimal with his arm talent as he can. But right now, while it's working, you know, strike the iron while it's hot. You have something that no team in the NFL can stop right now, and it could very well get you a championship.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's another thing that Baltimore has to kind of gauge when they need to use it the most, because like you said, you don't want him running, you know, 15, 20 times a game, right? So you want to use those runs only in certain situations where you need to, or you feel like the defense isn't expecting it. So that the last few weeks has been probably the most interesting thing to me that I've kind of tried to look out for. That'll be interesting to see, you know, whether they decide to use him, you know, at the goal line, you know, third down situations, what it is, which side of the field they use him towards. All that, you know, we'll see how things stack up on the offensive side of the ball. On defense, you know, this Baltimore Ravens defense, first in the league pretty much all year in rankings, first in yards, second in points now. But they've been very dominant. Over the last few weeks, they've looked especially good, and they've been forcing turnovers, which going into the last, you know, quarter of the season or so, they really weren't doing as much. They had only forced a few turnovers here, you know, that first week against Buffalo and then against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then all of a sudden, you finish the season from week 12 to week 17 forcing a turnover at least once in every single game. You know, and obviously, you know, some of them being actually three of them in that Chargers game before. So For me, that is the key for this defense, is to force turnovers. But specifically in the matchups, the player matchups here, is there anything that you're going to be keeping a particular eye on?
It's definitely going to be finding a way to maintain those outside receivers that they have in the Chargers locker room. We all know Keenan Allen just got his second Pro Bowl in as many years, had nearly 100 catches on the year, despite the fact that he pretty much missed the entire Chiefs game, where we saw the Chargers come back and win that game by 1 point on Thursday night or Saturday night football. It was one or the other. I can't remember. I believe it was Thursday night. Regardless, these guys have been ultra competitive all year long. And even beyond Keenan Allen, you know, Mike Williams, second-year guy from Clemson, has done nothing short of catch touchdowns. Tyrell Williams continues to be an incredibly underrated receiver for them, as he continues to just have a great stretch of, you know, stretching the field. They've got Hunter Henry's coming back now after missing the entire season with an ACL tear. None of us really know what to expect from that. We know how talented he is, but at the end of the day, he hasn't had any action all year long. It'll be interesting to see what kind of a matchup he can bring up for us, but I think we all know as well that the Ravens have very much struggled to cover tight ends this year. So if Hunter Henry is even 80% of what he normally is, that's going to be a problem for the Ravens. However, we have seen Jimmy Smith really start to come back to life. He's only gotten better every single week. He's very quickly come back into good graces with Baltimore, especially last week when, you know, Baker Mayfield of the Cleveland Browns just kept challenging him, and Jimmy was just sitting there like, dude, I don't really know what you're looking for here. I don't get a lot of picks, but I'll go ahead and take these ones.
Yeah, that has certainly helped this defense down the stretch here. And, you know, I think he's finally, after, you know, missing part of the beginning of the season there, finally starting to get into a groove. And yeah, I think you're 100% right. You know, Hunter Henry, to me, is the X factor in this game, because we haven't seen him, well, like you said, we know what he's capable of, but we haven't seen him with this offense, with these players, these outside receivers that have developed as the year has gone on. They are much better than they were last year now, and that's a dangerous combination when, you know, you plug a tight end in against a team that has, like you said, struggled against the tight end. They've, you know, guys like David Njoku, Jared Cook, you know, have even Antonio Gates made, I think it was a few receptions in that previous game. So, yeah, three receptions. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is a team that doesn't really match up well against the tight end. I think that's probably the one weakness for this team that you can try to exploit. And it was not able, you know, the Chargers were not able to do that, because I think Antonio Gates, look, he's had a great career, but at his age right now, he's just not a Hunter Henry. I mean, that's just...
Oh, yeah, he's lost his step for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. He's a solid guy, but Hunter Henry just adds another element there. So, you know, that's going to possibly open things up on the side, and how Baltimore kind of limits them will be interesting. I think really the important thing is if they can keep everything in front of them, you know, and kind of disguise their coverages like they were able to do last time, it's going to make things a little bit harder for Phillip Rivers to tell where he's going with the ball. I think if they're able to disguise coverages and then kind of keep you know, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen in front of them, you can only do so much damage down the rest of the field with the other guys. But you know, it's a tough matchup for them to, you know, it's a lot easier said than done to just, yeah, keep it short, you know.
Yeah, you know, keep a two-time Pro Bowler receiver and a seventh overall pick at receiver honest. You know, just do what you can.
Yeah.
It's a very tall order to ask of them, but this is a Ravens defense that has absolutely stepped up this year, so I actually feel pretty confident about that. But at the end of the day, yeah, no, there's not a lot of teams that can sit there and go, yeah, we can take two X's down.
Yeah, and I don't think either that, like, Baltimore has to have a guy that, like follows, you know, any particular player at this point. I mean, I think, you know, this secondary is full of veterans and guys that can that are very versatile. So I don't know if there's necessarily, a matchup that we're going to look at all day long. I think Baltimore feels pretty comfortable with, having guys like Brandon Carr or Marlon Humphrey or Jimmy Smith on a number of these Chargers receivers.
Absolutely, dude. Lost in the year that those three have had is how well Tavon Young has played coming back from his ACL tear that cost him his 2017 season. You've got four cornerbacks who have all played just outstanding football this year, and that's more receivers than the Chargers really have. So I feel a really nice advantage there. And, Eric Weddle's stat sheet has been very dry, short of a half sack that he had earlier in the year. Weddle's played pretty dang well, all things considered. He's just not popping up in the stat sheet. It's kind of like what C.J. Mosley was doing for a majority of the year. He wasn't getting any of those big stats, and he gets that big interception, and all of a sudden, he's back in the good graces of Baltimore. If Eric Weddle can get himself a pick or a fumble, I could see the exact same thing happening for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, definitely when you can have guys kind of mismatched and moved around the field at will, I think it definitely makes the things harder for the Chargers to game plan for that, because you just are not really sure what to expect in terms of the matchup and where you can go with the ball. So, again, I think that makes things even harder for Phillip Rivers to determine where he's going to go with the ball. Real quick, before we wrap up, man, do you have any predictions for this game, maybe a score prediction, and how things kind of unfold?
I think that the home field advantage is going to be crucial for Baltimore. They went into L.A. and were able to take down the Chargers, but at the end of the day, this rings just as true for the Rams as it does the Chargers. For whatever reason, they can't get a dominant home field advantage in Los Angeles. That felt like, almost like a neutral site, if not another home game for Baltimore when we went out there. So the Chargers are going to be in for a literal earful when they come to M&T Bank Stadium. If they're rocking the way they were against Cleveland in Week 17, they're going to have a very hard time playing against this defense and this team that is very motivated, very talented, and cunning. I think that Baltimore should be able to walk out of a win here. This might honestly be the toughest postseason game we'll have, because after this, the Patriots aren't that scary anymore. We took the Chiefs down to the wire and probably should have beat them if, we have anyone except C.J. Mosley covering Tyreek Hill on that stupid fourth down play that will now be in highlight reels forever, and I just kind of have to look away whenever it pops up.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and take the Ravens in this game 26-16.
Yeah, I think you're right about the home field advantage. It's definitely going to be tough for the Chargers, and I think there's a slight advantage to the Chargers defense in this rematch, being that it's such on short notice, because you have the Ravens offense that is very tough to prepare for, but here you are preparing for it for the second time in 3 weeks, so at least you have a little bit of a familiar kind of feel for it. I think Baltimore's home field advantage is, like you said, crucial in this game. But I honestly think this is going to come down to a field goal kick and, one of those whoever has the ball last type of situations. But I'm feeling a lot better about Baltimore's defense and how they've been able to hold teams down the stretch as of late. I think this comes down to a missed Chargers field goal at the buzzer. I think Baltimore holds on maybe by 2 points.
Isn't that funny how, the rest of the league has to worry about that stuff, but, we haven't had to worry about that in God knows how long, probably the 2011 AFC Championship game, and, once we got Billy Cundiff out of there, and thank the Lord we did that, Justin Tucker is, Tuck-natic for a reason.
He has been phenomenal. He's honestly one of my favorite players to watch in the league, because he's just so consistent, and, man, I mean, like Rich Eisen says, punters are people too. Well, so are kickers are people too. They're all football players in my book. So, he is one of the best.
And perhaps no player more important to this Ravens offense over the last 5 years than Justin Tucker has been.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Well, Richard, man, thanks for joining us today. And this will be a great game as we kind of move into the playoffs here. Only I think 11 more football games or so in the NFL, but they're 11 of the best. So it'll be great to watch. And we'll see if Baltimore can make another one of their patent playoff runs here, starting at home against the Chargers. Thanks for listening, guys.